or something in between. You enrich worship in this place, and we're grateful you're here. I'd like to draw your attention to a few announcements. One is that we're shifting into our summertime for kid programming. Kiddos who are 4 years old through second grade will leave for a story, a godly place story, during the sermon. And today, I have the honor of being with you for that time. So if you're 4 through 2nd grade, you can head out with me for that. If you are interested in helping with kids ministry this summer, either in the Sunday school room with those kids or in the nursery, please see me. We have opportunities for you to serve in that way. We were going to have lemonade on the lawn, but it just keeps raining and raining and raining. And so we are not going to go play outside today. We will have popsicles, however, even though it is raining, because we're inviting you to pop into our summer ministry together. We hope that you'll be partners with us. And you'll see I have some props here, because today we're inviting you to come and to pull a popsicle stick out of the jar, and it will be so fun, it'll be exciting. You'll just pick a date, and we invite you then to be the greeters on that Sunday or the hosts of fellowship time. Now, don't worry, you may say, what if I'm not here that Sunday? Don't worry, you can pull again. You can pull until we find a Sunday that works for you. So please do pop over to that table. You'll get a really good popsicle, fresh fruit, juice, no extra stuff that's not good for us. Come get a popsicle and pull out some popsicle sticks. You can pull out from each jar. Now, some of you may also be saying, but I've never done fellowship time before and it makes me nervous. Have you ever seen those big coffee pots? These make me nervous. I am not a coffee drinker, and so I have said we have to learn how to do it so we feel equipped for ministry. At First Baptist Church, we believe in equipping people for the work we ask them to do. And so I'm going to quickly show you how you make coffee. As someone who doesn't make coffee or drink coffee, if I can do it, you can do it. You take off the lid. You take off this part. Sure, it has a name. And then you fill it with water. You start with water. And sounds like we often go to the 50, which means 50 cups of water, and so you put the water in. Yeah? Raise your hand if you can do that. Can you put water? Yeah! See? Good, good. And then you put this thing back on. All right, there we go. And then you put the coffee in. And if you can't remember how much to put in, I think it's 2.5 cups. But if you can't remember, don't worry, because we believe in equipping you for the ministry that you partner with us in. And so there is a full-out binder with information to help you know how much needs to go in and what goes where. So when you've done that, you've put the water in, you've put the coffee in the top, look, all you do is this. Sue Ellen and Mary were teaching me today, and I almost didn't believe how easy it was. You then plug this thing in. On the one in the fellowship hall, you turn it on. And guess what? You've made coffee for the whole congregation. And so this is something we can all do, even if it feels a bit risky. I believe in you. So if there are other obstacles to hosting fellowship time, let me know, and I can show you how to plate cookies. We'll save that for a different day. But we do invite you to come and be partners with us, because that time of being together after worship is a time to connect and hear about what's going on in each other's lives. And it requires somebody to help get things set up about 30 minutes before worship and cleaning up about 30 minutes after worship. We ask that you would come and sign up for at least once this summer for this, and also for greeting to pass out bulletins before worship. Okay? And here's the other good news, is that the first time you do it, you even get a helper, Sue Ellen or Mary. Somebody will be in the kitchen with you to answer any questions you have. So you will be supported. Come see us. We'll be at the information counter. There's a whole bunch of stuff there, balloons, popsicles. Come see us. You'll also see in your bulletin that the art fair is coming up. We love that time. It makes life a little bit busier here at church. We do rent out parking spaces in our parking lot. It's a way to serve our Vespers program and our youth ministry. We're asking for folks to come and spend time in the parking lot, to monitor the parking lot for 2-hour time frames. And you get a parking voucher. You get to park there too for a little while, for while you go shopping or while you go looking at the art. So check in with Sue Ellen about that. You'll find there's a connection card in your bulletin too. If you're visiting, we ask that you fill that out with the information to connect with you and next steps on the back. And now we're going to enter into worship together with our whole being, with our hearts, our minds, our spirits, as we worship the triune God, God the Creator, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let us worship.
Celebrate fatherhood, our own fathers, and the father figures in our lives. Help us to open our hearts and worship you. Help us to love our neighbors, bring peace to those who are experiencing pain today. Amen.
Oh,
majestic is your name in all the earth. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established.
What are the beasts that you have done for them, or horses that you care for them?
Yet you have made them a little lower than God.
And crowned them with glory and honor.
You have given them dominion over the works of your hands.
You have put all things under their feet. O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
We stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Loving God, thank you for the ways you show us your love through creation. The buzz of the bees, the quick wings of the hummingbird, the delicate flowers on the trees, and the smell of the rain and the soil. Convict us and equip us for the work of caring for your earth. And as we enter into this new season, may all our senses be aware of your goodness. As we listen, may we hear you calling us by name. We are known, as a sheep is known by the shepherd, a player known by their coach, a child known by their father. Although no human love compares to your love, we give thanks for those whose love has made an impact in our lives. On this Father's Day, we specifically give thanks for fathers, grandfathers, uncles and neighbors, mentors and teachers. We pray for those who are in a season of caring for children at home. Sustain them. And for those who are caring for parents, give them calm strength. We pray for the children at our southern border, for fathers and mothers. We pray for safety, for the families, for the teens in tent prisons, and for the littlest children. Stir up in us compassion and righteous anger, that we may demand change before another life is lost. We are a broken people, and relationships are strained. Forgive us for the things we've done and the things we've left undone, individually, as the church, and as a nation. Unite us in right relationship with you and with one another, as you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. We pray now for those we know to pray by name. For Helen Louise Bowser, for Maria Pierzantozzi, for Peter Beauvais, Jean Evie, Joan and Lynn Blunt, Roberta Hawes, Stacy Simpson Duke, Marilyn Marsh, Laura Parmalee, Doris George, Juanita Dearly, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, for Betty, Lorna, Anna Kirstein, Sawne Lynn, Robert L., Marissa Alanese. We pray for the family and friends of Bill McKeachy, for Nancy and Brandon Tarnaski, for Catherine, Amy L., for Jim Terrace and Josh Cozens, for Don Gregg, Dale, Pat, Tommy, for Isidore King, for Essie Slaughter and Ulysses Slaughter Jr. God, the Creator, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you invite us into relationship, relationship that transforms the world. Using the words of Jesus, we now pray for this transformation. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand if you are able. This reading is from the book of John. It is a part of Jesus' extended teaching to his disciples as he approaches the end of his life. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The word of the Lord. I invite the children to come as we sing for a time as children.
In the reading that Lizzie read today, she read about our faith journey, what it means to be on a journey together, and what that can look like. So I think it's a little bit like when you're getting ready to run a long race. I don't know if you've known a teenager or a grown-up who's done this, but they run, and they've got to keep running, and they've got to make good choices of what they eat, and then they run a little bit more each week, and their bodies get stronger and ready for the race. It's kind of what this faith journey is like. And I'm going to ask that you help me with your running feet. Grady, can you be the first one to help me? Can you come stand over here and hold this? We're all on a faith journey, and it's kind of like running. Can you run in place? You're going to run the longest because you're first. Okay, and we see, good, that while we're on this faith journey, good, Grady, that God doesn't tell us it's going to always be easy, that there's going to be suffering. Teresa, can you come next? That while we're on the faith journey, sometimes things are hard. Come stand right next to Grady. You guys are face forward, face out towards the grown-ups. Good. Okay, now you have to start running too. Yeah. That we're on the faith journey, sometimes we have suffering, hard things, but we get stronger and tougher in those hard things. Oh, which produces, Asher, endurance. Endurance means you can do hard things for a longer time. You don't give up. You keep trying. Oh, yeah. Good. Keep running. On that faith journey, that endurance produces character. Piper, can you come hold character? Character means that after we're doing these hard things and we're sustaining it, we can keep making choices, patient choices, hard choices, good choices, outward-focused choices, and all of that produces, phew, are you getting tired? All of that produces hope. Ooh, this is the good news. All of this hard work comes to hope. Yes, good running, good running. All right. Lizzie, can you be the Holy Spirit? And here's the good news. The hope will not disappoint us, the scripture says, because the Holy Spirit pours love into your hearts. So while you run, Lizzie is going to be the Holy Spirit, and she's going to pour hearts over your head. Oh, my goodness. Because when we're on this faith journey, it sometimes has suffering, which builds endurance and character. And it's then we are full of hope, which will not disappoint. Go ahead. Can you shake a little heart on all of them? Hearts on them. Yes, shake it. Go. Get good. Oh, yes, all the way. Oh. Throw some at them. Fill them with hearts. There you go. Oh, phew. Okay, you can stop running. We're going to hold our bodies still for the prayer at the end. I love it. Heart confetti. Let's remember that feeling. Okay, let's pray. God, you call us on a journey of faith to trust in you. We know it's hard, and the hard things build us up. There's good stuff, too. But we're ready to do the hard tasks, to be your people, to make good choices, knowing that we can hope. We can hope in what you have for this world and for us. And thank you for filling us with your love through the Holy Spirit. We're grateful. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right.
Will you pray with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation, the response of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be surprised to know that the Church has debated the doctrine of Trinity for hundreds of years. As non-doctrinal Free Church Baptists, we've never gotten too excited about that debate. But in today's text, Jesus speaks about Father and Son as if this is important. And today is Trinity Sunday. And when I came up to the pulpit, I found three packages of tissues. Trinity is this idea that God is three in one. One in three persons, we say. And the number three has meaning. It means perfection, fulfillment. It means wholeness, completeness. But then is it Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Of course, understanding that God is not literally a person. God transcends all human aspects like gender. But this is the kind of language that Jesus is using in John. Or is it more creator, redeemer, sanctifier, all good biblical terms? Or as one church I know says, the divine who moves around, among, and within us. And then, who begets? Is beget the right word? Who begets whom in the Trinity? Or does one proceed from another or from both? And how? We could argue about functional equivalence and co-inherence, and use heavy theological words like perichoresis. I asked some church members this week, what does Trinity mean to you? And the first person I asked responded with a sigh, and then a long silence. But then answers came. This one person said, it's like three aspects or faces of God. And a math person thought of geometry and said, if you just have two points, you can only draw a straight line between them. But if you have three, there is an endless, limitless possibility of the planes that you can create. Or a tripod is the most stable way to hold up a camera or a painting. One said it's like being invited to a place at the table with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Another described it as three notes that come together for a chord or harmony or music. These insightful theological metaphors for the Trinity join the text from John to describe who God is and how God moves in the world, which is important teaching that Jesus wants the disciples to understand before he leaves them. My favorite response of all the ones that I got from church members, however, was this. The Trinity is one of those mysteries I avoid thinking about too much. I have never been able to figure out what it has to do with living my life. Will your sermon make it all clear? I do rather enjoy singing Holy, Holy, Holy. Why does it matter? It really doesn't. Unless you believe that you are created in the image of God. that you want to follow in the way that God has created you to be and do. Then it's something like learning your genealogy. Let's find out where we come from, who we come from, who it is that's shaped and formed us, what's in our spiritual DNA to help us know how to live our lives, to become more fully who it is we are created to be. And it is mystery, yes. But what if Richard Rohr is right when he says that mystery is not just something that cannot be understood, or not so much something that cannot be understood, as it is something you can endlessly understand? Back to that fancy word, perichoresis. This is a bold, radical, maybe revolutionary idea about Trinity, and therefore about us. It means mutuality of relationship. It's about belonging to others. It's not just standing side by side. It's not just deploying one or another for this purpose or that. It's not water, steam, ice, which is the concept I learned in Sunday school a long time ago. It's not three someones adding up to the man upstairs. But it's a deep, mutual, moving, self-giving interplay, play, each one sharing joyfully, generously in the life of others. It's God as community, which is one way of defining love, isn't it? Christ, Spirit, God, coming, guiding, speaking, giving, and so much more, as Jesus teaches in John. The Celtic triquetra, which you see in the bulletin insert, is a beautiful ancient image of this interconnected, interwoven, all together, all belonging, three in one. But it's a contained image. An even better one is Rublev's Trinity icon, and there's copy of one by the door you can look at as you leave. This shows the three persons at the table, each one inclined to the other and creating a space for others who belong to come and join them. And this attraction of all things to all things, this perichoresis of Trinity, is everywhere. It's not just in the Bible. It's not just in some church debate. It's everywhere. It is the very physical structure of the universe, according to paleontologist, geologist, and Jesuit priest Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. He says it exists in gravity, in atomic bondings, in orbits, cycles, photosynthesis, ecosystems, force fields, sexuality, human friendship, animal instincts, evolution. All creation is about an energy that is attracting all things and all things to one another. And it all moves toward greater and greater wonderful diversity and deeper, more profound unity. It all holds together. This matters. We are daughters and sons of God who has embedded relationship, love in the whole world. And why wouldn't God do this? This is who God is. So, there is not a native, a Hindu, Christian, Buddhist, Muslim, Jewish way of loving? All belong. There's not a Baptist, Lutheran, Catholic way of stocking a food pantry with cereal. There's not a straight or gay way of forgiving. Not a Black, Euro, Latino, Asian way of hoping. Everyone belongs. We are bombarded by messages that shout otherwise. But the universal underlying language of love, the thing that we see in a triune God, keeps showing itself. At Hope Clinic last week, a few of us delivered the first 150 boxes of cereal that we have collected for their food pantry. And the person who was helping us to stock the shelves and taking us around said that our goal is to welcome everyone, to say in everything we do, including the quality of the cereal we give away, you are created in God's image. You belong here. On this Father's Day, I think of my dad, an American Baptist pastor who grew up in a time when Catholics and Protestants were not especially friendly toward one another. In our little town of Medina, New York, he made friends with the priest at St. Mary's. They led worship together. And then he welcomed and loved a Catholic son-in-law into our family. And then a story I have never been able to forget for years and years since I first heard it, about three Allied soldiers who were fighting in France in World War II. Good friends. One of them was killed in a battle, and the other two wanted to bury him, but not just out in the field. They wanted to find a meaningful and a beautiful place. So they went to the small town nearby and found a beautiful French churchyard with a cemetery, a fence all around it. And they went to the priest and asked if they could bury their friend there. The priest asked if he had been a Catholic. No, he had not. And so the priest said, I'm very sorry, but this is a consecrated cemetery. It is for Catholics only. We cannot allow you to bury your friend in this place. So they went out and they did the next best thing. They found a place along the fence, but on the outside, and they buried their friend there. The next day, they came back to pay their last respects, and when they went to the place where they remembered burying the friend, where they thought the grave was, they couldn't find it. They looked and looked, and finally they knocked on the priest's door and said, "We cannot find the grave." And the priest said, "Yes. Last night, I could not sleep thinking about you and your love for your friend. And so I finally realized what I had to do. I got up and I moved the fence." Our triune God shows us and tells us, all of us, you belong. Does it matter? Yes. At the Center for Action and Contemplation in New Mexico, 2,000 people attended a conference trying to understand more fully who God is and how they might follow God more faithfully. There are people from many different faiths, even though this is a Catholic-centered retreat. They came from all cultures, all races, all nations. And at the conclusion, they read together a litany of belonging, because what they found was God's love is all about being open and welcoming to all. I invite you, as I read this litany, to respond as they did. Your response will be the words, "You belong," when you hear me say, "We say, you belong." We would like to let you know that you belong. People on all parts of the continuum of gender identity and expression, including those who are gay, bisexual, heterosexual, transgender, cisgender, queer folks, the sexually active, the celibate, and everyone for whom those labels don't apply, we say,
"You belong."
People of African descent, of Asian descent, of European descent, of First Nations descent, in this land and abroad, and people of mixed and multiple descents and of all the languages, we say,
"You belong."
Bodies with all abilities and challenges, those living with any chronic medical condition, visible or invisible, mental or physical, we say,
"You belong."
People who identify as activists and those who don't, mystics, believers, seekers of all kinds, people of all ages, those who support you to be here, we say,
"You belong."
Your emotions, joy, fear, grief, contentment, disappointment, surprise, and all else that flows through you, we say,
"You belong."
Your families, genetic and otherwise, those dear to us who have died, our ancestors and the future ones, we say,
"You belong."
People who feel broken, lost, struggling, who suffer from self-doubt and self-judgment, we say,
"You belong."
And all beings that inhabit this earth, human or otherwise, the two-legged, the four-legged, the winged and finned, those that walk, fly, and crawl above the ground and below, in air and water, we say, may it be so. Our giving is one wonderful way that we have to show who God is, to express the pouring of love that we experience, to share this with others. I invite you now to give, and when the time comes to sing the doxology, our ushers will bring the gifts forward. Many know these words by heart, and they are beautiful, traditional words, but printed in the bulletin today are some slightly different words that help us speak perhaps more clearly of God who is three in one.
Oh,
giving today be a sign of your outpouring abundance and abiding love for us and for all your creation. May our gifts open doors to healing and hope. May we and all whose lives these gifts reach become more fully the ones you have created us to be. Amen. Peace is an ancient and beautiful tradition of people of faith. When we say the words of blessing to another, we are calling that person into the fullness of God's peace. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. rejoicing once again into our doors. In the name of